the buzzer. McCord on its way. Oh my goodness!
They have to get it in. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to the world's greatest podcast. I'm Seth Greenberg with my man Dan Dokic, and we're going to take a look at yesterday's games because a lot of stuff happened in college basketball yesterday. Some big wins, some disappointing losses, some rivalry games that really weren't rivalry type games. And then we're going to look ahead a little bit to the ACC Big Ten Challenge. D-Squared, I'm going to start with, I say Kentucky, you say
stinks. I think there's different levels of five-star recruit. There's two teams that I want to talk about. When I watch Kentucky, I don't see their talent being greater than everybody else's. Like, I've told you my thoughts on Olivier Saar. I told you that right from jump. I didn't think he was nearly what people made him out to be. I think they're going to learn. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're Kentucky. I think they're Cal, you know, Cal Hab. But right now, you got to say they stinks. And I also think I've never seen, and we can get into this later, a North Carolina team or a Roy Williams coach team that walks through their offense, doesn't sprint, isn't sharp, as I've seen this North Carolina team. And they got a chance to get their brains beat out against Iowa in the ACC Big Ten shootout. But I don't think Kentucky, I can say anything other than I think they're a bad basketball team right now, Seth. You?
Yeah, I do think they're a bad team. They don't take care of the basketball. They don't play overly hard. They don't have guys that can just go get a shot anytime they want it. They don't have a point guard. Now, I'm gonna take a offense to you on one thing that you said a couple of weeks ago, you know, about the whole scheduling thing and Cal and this and that. Here's the deal. This team is not very good. This team doesn't have that elite dynamic ball guard. I think that Clark and Boston are going to be good. I don't know who's going to have the ball in their hands. I do think up front that Jackson kid has it. See, Jake, we have two dogs here today. I think that the Jackson kid has a chance. They need Keon Brooks for no other reason. If you put Brooks and Jackson and Boston together.
Wait, well, you started out by saying the scheduling part, and now you're making excuses.
I'm going to get in because I think the schedule they're playing is good. I think they're playing a good schedule.
I think they're
playing good teams.
Me too.
I mean they played Georgia Tech and Notre Dame in the ACC. They just played Kansas. I mean, they still got
Louisville. I do too. I've said they play good teams, but you can't whine about it because you play good teams when you're at Kentucky.
I don't think he's whining about it. I think he's just he's stating the facts. He knows his team. He knows his team isn't ready for this schedule. Now, look, that's his choice. He obviously thought he was going to have Brooks, but he scheduled the game, so he's responsible. This team right here playing this schedule is not ready for the schedule. And when you're playing in a virus, most teams – would start the season playing two or three bops. I mean, like we saw Michigan State. I mean, they play Detroit. They play Western Michigan. You play two or three bops, get your feet wet, get the freshman a chance to gain some confidence. All right, and then go from there. That's just a fact. Now, that makes no difference.
That's not a fact. That's an opinion.
No, I'm stating that my opinion like it's a fact right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, the fact is according to me. That's just the way it is. Look, they're not as talented. Saar is not as good as I thought he was. He doesn't play hard enough to be a winning player. In fact, every team has a leading scorer. He was a leading scorer on a bad team. Now, can he be functional? Sure, he can be functional. Does he understand how to play hard, winning basketball? I said this last night on SportsCenter. There's a difference between talented and being a winning player. You could be talented and not being a winning player. They have some guys that are talented. Clark's got a chance. Boston's got a chance. I think the Jackson kid is going to be a good player. How do those guys go from that point to winning players? First, they got to have some success. Then you and I both have known. I mean, like, you're 1-3. It is harder to get – and these kids are pushed back. Like, I think the biggest thing is all these guys thought, hey, you go from high school to college. I'm an All-American. I'm a McDonald's All-American. I'm a five-star recruit. This is going to be easy. Man, it's hard.
I think we've spent too much time on Kentucky right now.
All right.
They're not any good and they're not interesting.
All right. And the last thing is, and the other thing I want to say is these kids who graduate early from high school, miss their senior year and come and play, none of them are ready.
terrible.
None of them are right.
Terrible idea.
All right. And none of them are right. Whether it's Joey Baker, whether it's Devin Askew, none of them are ready. And they lose that year of high school, that experience, and they're not ready to play. They think they're ready. They think this is their quickest route to the league. I'm going to say it again. The NBA is an exclusive club. So we've got rid of Kentucky. Now, next case.
Hold on. Let me address that. See, I think you're the great defender of coaches. I'm the great, like, well, a lot of these guys are Hall of Famers because of the schedules they play. Let them go into the MAC and play 6 home games a year and see how the hell good they really are. I mean,
I played in the A-10. He played in the American Conference.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Let's do that. So I say this. First, there's no excuse for losing. And I also say a lot of these coaches are a fraud because if they were really caring about players, you would never, in good conscience, if you understood children, kids, you would never take somebody that left school early. You would always say, no, I'm not taking you because your senior year is a great year. All these coaches, your boy Izzo does this all the time. Your boy Izzo always says, well, you know, I don't like the fifth-year transfer, but he always takes them. I wish that
take it too.
I wish that 5 guys from Michigan State or North Carolina or Duke or Kentucky would leave 1 year and go play. You know what? We don't like Kentucky. We're going to go play at Bowling Green. And then all these sanctimonious guys would change their whole tune on everything in college basketball. If you're a coach that has taken a guy out of his senior year in high school, you don't care about players.
I totally disagree with you.
I know.
I totally disagree. Because here's the deal. Those kids, number one, those kids are going no matter what. It's the kids that want to leave early. That's just fine. The way it is.
I don't have to take them.
That's the same guy that would say, well, I don't believe it. I'm not going to recruit one and dones. All right?
No,
you guys
not.
Go, I'm not going to recruit
it's totally
one and dones. I heard that
it's
from Kay. I heard that from Self. I heard that from all those guys. And then
That's not even close.
They're all recruiting one and dones.
That's not
Things
even
change.
Close.
Things change. Here's the deal is, the reality is, if you're going to take those guys and they want to go and they're pursuing the opportunity to leave early, here's what you got to tell them. This is going to be hard. You're probably not going to play because you're not ready for this.
No, here's what you got to tell them, son. You're making a huge mistake. Senior year in high school is one of the great years of your life. It's the only year you have that. I'm not going to take you if you want to do that. If you want to wait a year, I got a scholarship for you. If you don't like that, go. It is not nearly the same as a one and done.
But these kids aren't going to school like you and I went to school, Dad. Some of these kids don't even go to their own high schools. They go to
I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about the coach saying, look.
Disagreement.
I know.
My disagreement is more that as you recruit this kid, if this kid says, I'm graduating early, I'm done. You got to explain to that kid, yo, here's the deal. There's a chance you won't play.
No, I got to explain
you're
that.
Physically, mentally, emotionally ready to play.
I got
to. And I'm going to do something. I just spoke to Jeff Bozell today. I'm going to get a list of all those dudes that came out early, and I want to show people that this is hard, and the chances of you having success year one when you leave early, you're not mentally, physically, emotionally ready. It's a bad idea. But you know what? There's so much static around these guys that to convince them that they're ready to go. That kid committed before his junior year of high school.
Can I get a word in?
Certainly.
Every coach acts like they're the most pious, controlled CEO. And every coach uses the excuse about all the static around kids. You know how John Thompson solved the static by calling the biggest drug dealer in D.C. and saying, shut the hell up. You know how Bob Knight handled the static? He told every agent, we're not dealing with you. You know how Dean Smith did the same way, Krzyzewski early. Now everybody has just given in to the static.
Let me ask you something. You don't think that Isaiah Thomas had someone take care of him?
Just gonna talk? Can I finish or are you just going to talk?
I'll wait. Then you can answer my question.
All right, thanks. I mean, I listen to you.
Go ahead, finish.
Every coach are these grand leaders. Leaders of men. We care about men. We got to get them more money. You know what? Let me tell you something. If I were coaching in this day and age and some kid told me, he was going to leave his senior year in high school to come play for me, I would tell him, you are not coming to play for me, because frankly, even though I was psychotically hard on players, I know what's best. And what's best is to get yourself a senior year that you'll never forget and then go play college basketball. That's all I'm saying. Agree, disagree, but it has absolutely not one freaking thing to do with one and dones.
All right, so you give me all the stuff about, and before we get into the ACC Big Ten and Texas and Villanova, you give me all this sanctimonious stuff about Indiana and, you know their agents didn't get involved. But when you guys went to the old wagon wheel, did you ever pay?
Yeah, every time.
Think Isaiah paid?
Every time. I'll tell you a story about that. There was a restaurant. It was called, what the hell was it called? It was open at 3 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And it was for third shift workers. Coach Knight found out that some of his players weren't paying. He went down there and put, I was there. I was a player. He put the guy up against the wall. It's called Bruce's Cafe. Every Indiana person knows Bruce's Cafe. He put Bruce up against the wall. And let me put it to you this way. Nobody ever went to Bruce's again trying not to pay. Absolutely. 100%.
You think he had an agent?
No. He had brothers.
That's good.
Calvert Chaney rode a bike this class. That's good. While we would go to Wisconsin and see all their little license plates on their cars, Corey Blackwell and all these guys, Calvert Chaney was driving a bicycle to class. Just telling you.
All right. Now moving on.
That's the background I come from, and I'm proud of it. That's why I get so offended about cheaters. I hate cheaters because I saw Coach Knight. That's why I get offended about scheduling. And we go down to El Paso and play. We go to Miami of Ohio and play. We go to Ball State and play. Always played Kentucky because it's great for college basketball. That's why I don't want to hear from somebody about scheduling and how great these coaches are when they play 99.9% of their non-conference games either at home or on neutral sites. I don't want to hear it because I saw a guy not do that, and he became arguably the best coach ever. That's my background. We all have different backgrounds. That's my background.
Okay. My thoughts on Xavier Cincinnati. I thought it was as well played a game as I've seen between Xavier and Cincinnati. In fact, I've done one of those games, and I was disappointed. I mean, it's Xavier Cincinnati. It's the Skyline Chili. They're supposed to be some hate. I mean, guys were flying up and down the court, going in right into the basket, laying and making layups. It's like no one was there. Guys were covering up ball screens and just turning the corner and laying it in. Guys were like, I've never seen.
What do you want to see? Shot. What did you want to see? What did you want to see?
I wanted to see someone knock on someone else on their ass. I wanted to see rivalry. Rivalry games should not be like a handshake line. Rivalry games, you need to have an edge. Rivalry games, when a guy cuts across the lane the first time, you jack him up and send a message like, we're going to be here all day. All right? Thank you very much. I thought it was a well-played game. But it didn't seem, and again, there's no one in the stands.
Right.
It just didn't have the feel of a rivalry game with Chris Mack and Mick Cronin.
Seth, I don't disagree with you. I told the story on air doing the game. I got 75 cents at Purdue. They threw quarters at me. I walked off the court when I had my fourth foul in the first half at Mack Arena. I looked it up and I go, hey, man, I got 75 cents here that I picked up from people throwing. That's the kind of rivalry game. That I'm with you on it. How much do you think? I was thinking about this after the game. How much do you think a crowd impacts the pride, you know, the energy that, you know what I mean?
Because, yeah.
How much? I thought a bunch in that game. Yeah, I thought
think so a lot.
Too.
I think that game played at Cincinnati with the fans frothing at the band coming and all that other stuff. Yeah, of course. It raises what it does. And we're seeing this across the board, I think. It raises your temperature. Like these games, and everyone's doing a great job. I mean, like everyone's doing a great job. Having bands, having cheerleaders, having people separated, you know, piping in music. Everyone's doing everything humanly possible to give these kids some semblance of normalcy in a normal environment in terms of creating the atmosphere. But the difference in creating an atmosphere and atmosphere are two different animals. So, I mean, like, I I tip my hat to everyone and the sacrifices that everyone's making and how, you know, look, this isn't easy. What's going on right now isn't easy, but you can't replicate the pure emotion of 14,000 people in the crowd, wearing red, frothing at the mouth, half in the bag, hating the other team.
And that's just the announcers.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I don't think you did the game when the fight broke out.
No, I didn't do that game.
That fight really affected this series. That fight got too much out of control. Kenny Freeze, the big kid, got popped, you know. And, you know, they went to where they wouldn't even call it the Crosstown Shootout because of the connotation of a shootout. Right. So I do think that this was not only between, you know, the coaches and players. This was the presidents of each institution. And I really think, Seth, I really think the elected officials a few years ago got in on this and said, hey, look, we can't be doing this, and we're going to have to cancel the series. So I think it's a little more than that. I got to ask you, my man Travis Steele went downtown to Dana's and dropped $2,000
last year,
you know, on all the people there. What do you think?
He didn't do it yesterday, did he? Oh, he went back down there again yesterday? Last time
it was $1,000 for one win. This was $2,000. For two wins. Yeah,
last year he had his son slap it down on the bar. you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, Travis, I like your team. I think you're more skilled. I think that Paul Scruggs played under control. I like this kid, Dwan Odom. Fremantle's good. I think that they've got a really nice team. But, dude, you better beat someone beside Cincinnati, because you go to the NIT, dude, year three, and you won't have to worry about slapping $3,000 down next year. Because, I mean, that's just the way it is. Xavier, they expect you to win.
They do.
And I thought he did a really good job. Coming out of timeouts, he was really good. Start of the second half, he was really good. I thought what they did offensively was good. I thought that I liked the way they played. I think the Kunkel kid's going to open up the floor. He's got to take better shots. I like the pieces that they have. I really, really like the Carter kid. And that was the first time he kind of got it going this season. He hadn't been playing as well. So I think they have a nice team. And I was impressed with Cincinnati's team.
Colby Jones, who came in, I could not believe this. He did not practice. He came right in and got a bucket out. I was texting with Travis after, and he said he thinks he's their third best player. So, you know, they get – and you said the Kunkel kid, the transfer, who was all-league at Belmont, you know, gives them a little bit. Yeah, I thought Cincinnati was fine. I didn't look at either of those teams getting ready for the game, Seth. Now, Cincinnati was a little tough because they only played the one game. Yeah. But I didn't look at either of those teams as being outstanding. You know, I looked at both of those teams being
Williams good and Julius is a decent backcourt.
Yeah.
I love the vote kid. I think he's kind of interesting. The two big kids are skilled and, you know, can kind of make plays. I think they're all right. Now, I'll tell you who I was impressed with in a win and a loss, Villanova, Texas. Villanova plus 11 with Gillespie in the game, minus 7 with him out. He's just tough. He gets the ball in the paint. He can back people down. He makes open shots. He came up with a big steal. He stepped to line and made 4 free throws in a row. They play out of those double teams and make one more pass as good as anyone. But I think Texas is really good. Kai Jones, really impressive. Really impressive. You know, I still worry about their backcourt. I know Courtney Ramey made some big shots, and I thought that Coleman in the first half coming off those screens was really good. That was when Gillespie was out. I think that Greg Brown's going to be good. He wants to be a three-man, so he's taking bad shots. But defensively, I think Texas is really good. Really.
Do you? Here's kind of the way I looked at that. I thought Texas, you know, the Maui Classic, they beat Carolina. They beat the hell out of Indiana. They survived Davidson in the opener, that kind of thing. I think three teams. Texas, if they're really good. Illinois got their brains beat out in a game on national level game. And I'm looking at Iowa tomorrow against North Carolina as three teams. Okay, you're good enough, but are you, you know, are
you
gotta
Villanova? Win that game.
You got to win that game. That's a home game, Villanova. I know it's tough. You had three games, but God dang, you got to win that game. If you're Illinois, I mean, are you as good as you're supposed to be? You play that game at least down the stretch with Baylor. I'm not saying you win it, But you got to play that a one possession game back and forth, Seth. And I'm looking at the same thing. I don't think North Carolina is really very good. I don't think they're near what North Carolina usually is, but it's North Carolina. Iowa, they need to win that game with Luka Garza and McCaffrey not throwing the ball away, which he doesn't. They need to win that game, in my opinion. Same kind of deal. Does that make sense?
100%. Look, if they are who they thought they were. Well, if they are who we think they were, then they have to win these games. So, like, I look at Carolina.
Right.
Look, the two bigs, and Brooks, you know, rolled his ankle, didn't practice today, but they play post-to-post basketball. You know they're going to rebound the basketball. Here's my concern for Carolina. The two freshman guards, they're turning the thing over all over the place, like 23% of their possessions.
I didn't love them.
Neither, you know, Davis is shooting it a little bit better. Caleb Love doesn't understand good shot, bad shot. They don't get anything out in transition. Like, they're scoring, like, less than, like, 0.75 points per game, per possession in transition. That's ridiculous. And the reason being, one, they're not creating live ball turnovers. Like, you know, when I think Carolina, I think a scramble on the sideline. I think a scramble out of the free throw situations. I think they make you react to them. They take something away. They're not getting anything out of their defense where they're getting playing ahead of the defense. Two, the guys they're advanced passing the ball to, they're not finishers. They're not playmakers. They're not the guys that we played against, you played against.
Yeah.
So that's a concern. So they got to get better point guard play. They got their wings have got to be up to score some. And then defensively, they've got to be able to turn you over to create that transition game that puts you, like, they run their transition game, but they get nothing out of it.
They don't run it hard. You know, there's a difference between running your offense because the coach said run your damn offense, and a difference in sprinting through your offense because every cut you're trying to score. Like, I always said this about Izzo's teams. By the end of the year, Izzo's teams, every cut, every pass has a purpose. Carolina looks to me like they're running their secondary. They're running their sets because coach over there told us, hey, these are the sets we run and we got to get through them.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah. Well, that was the problem I was having with Indiana the game they lost to Stanford. What they were trying to do seemed good. But they were looking like they were getting to the end of their offense. They were running offense without a purpose. Now, I tell you, give them their credit. The next day, Trayce Jackson-Davis got touches. He caught it tight. He finished. They had played up. They played out of that, and that was impressive. Iowa, on the other hand, terrific passing team, versatile lineups. I mean, Jack Nungi, he comes off the ACL, you know, scores 18 against a bad team, but he still scored 18. You got my man Garzilla. They've got so many options. Like at least camp on the wing, which is fun. You got the 2-point guards. McCaffrey never turns it over. And obviously Bohannon's back. Patrick McCaffrey now is healthier, which is one of the great stories of college basketball, especially during the week. He's playing well. Toussaint, Frederick, they have a lot of guys. They are a terrific offensive team. Garza's gotten even better. He plays against Western Illinois the same way he plays against, you know, Illinois and Michigan. Here's the question. It's really simple. And I talked to Fran the other day. Are you going to be better defensively? Because if you're not going to be better defensively, you're not going to win a game like this.
They should be. I mean, you know, they have tough kids. They have long kids. They, you know, they've got enough athletic ability. They should. But you know what, Seth? In my world, the jury's out. And it's not – I can't imagine Fran hanging his hat on man-to-man defense. Right, he's going to play some 3-quarter court. Yep. He's going to play some 1-3, some 2-3. He's going to mix it up a little bit. And I'm anxious to see, like, Garzilla has really improved. Okay, he has. He's off the charts. 30 points a night, all that kind of stuff. However, in this game, this is one of the few games across the board in college basketball where the other team, North Carolina, has enough big depth to maybe cause him a little bit of problem. You know, they've got enough depth. You can throw some guys at. Most teams have a guy, right? And then the second guy ain't the guy.
De'Ron Sharp looks – he can block shots. He's physical. He's a freshman. My thing is Carolina, when you throw it into them, like excluding Garrison Brooks, none of those guys play the double teams. Well, I don't know if Iowa's going to double them big to big like other people, but
– right.
But, I mean, those guys, their bigs have thrown it all over the place. I mean, but that's going to be – both teams are going to play. The experience of the Iowa guards against the inexperience of Love and RJ Davis will be interesting. Leaky Black's got to step up. I like Leaky Black in the end of the game, last two games, he was more assertive, which he should be now. He should be now. All right, so let's go to that. Illinois Duke.
Me. Again, Illinois, you're a top five team, at least preseason, top 10 for most. You got to go win this game, do you not? I mean, look, Illinois, I watched the Illinois, who beat him? Baylor. I didn't think Kofi Coburn was better than he was at the end of the year. Like, I felt like he was just okay. Miller's really good. They're going to play a certain way. But, Seth, in my way of looking at college basketball, if you're Illinois, you got to go in against an inexperienced Duke team that has already been beat. It's at Duke, right? So there's no Cameron crazies. There's no nothing. You've got a guy in DeSumo who's 1,000 years old. He's played in the biggest game. This is the greatest opportunity, just like it was for Michigan State. This is the best opportunity you're ever going to have to get a win like that. And I think, again, Illinois, Iowa, Texas, if you're that good, that talented against a team in Duke that's down a little bit, or a team in North Carolina that isn't great, you just got to win the game, Seth. And I don't know that they can. I really don't. Until they do it, I ain't buying it.
Well, here's my thing about Carolina, about Duke, and I really do believe this. I think they're going to go through a little bit of what Kentucky's going through. Like, except they've got Matthew Hurt. So Matthew Hurt has scored it. He scored it well. Can he score it against Illinois in their front court? At the point, I think they got to play Jordan Goldwire. Nothing against Roche, but they need his leadership. He's had that Quinn Cook type year where he gives him toughness and leadership and can huddle them together and get them to the next play. Because, look, the first 5 minutes of that Michigan State game, they absolutely took Michigan State out. Michigan State just handed the ball to him. The pressure got into him. But they couldn't maintain that intensity. And that's the difference between young guys and older guys. The older guys understand. Like, Kay called it a 10-round fight. Like, it's a 40-minute game. Like, you can play 10 minutes hard, but, like, what are you going to play the next 35 minutes? Are you going to stop pressuring the ball? Are you going to stop being alert? Jalen Johnson's really talented, but he's loose with the ball. He's turned over at a high level. Kay's going to play small. I will be shocked if Illinois doesn't win this game. If Iyo Desumo is as good as we think he is, then that pressure should not bother him. And if that pressure doesn't bother him, I will be shocked if Illinois doesn't win this game. That would change my opinion of their team.
Oh, if Illinois – I'm going to be shocked if Illinois wins this game. I'm going to tell you why.
Wow.
I could be dead wrong, but you're going to come into Duke. And you're going to lose two home games in the first month of the season? Now, I know Coach K, and you know him better than I know him. He puts his hand over his mouth, and he's saintly, and the hair's still black somehow. And, you know, he's all corporated up, my ass. He's crushing them. He's destroying them. They had a game with, I think it was Elon, that got canceled. They were supposed to play. So he's had even more of them. If I'm a Duke player, I got to tell you, I remember this from 100 years ago with Bob Knight. There were some games, man, I don't give a damn what we got to do. It was like, I'll never forget, Butler beat us with Damon Bailey. And it was like, this is before Butler was Butler. Our next game was number one Kentucky in the old Hoosier Dome. And I got to tell you, man, there's a lot of games Indiana wasn't going to win. But that was one Indiana was going to win because they didn't want to catch another week of what they caught. So I'm a believer in that. And until Illinois does it and on that kind of stage, Seth, I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it until they do it, Seth.
I will be really disappointed if Illinois doesn't win that game. Any of those others, the first two nights, like kind of intrigue you? Like Ohio State, Notre Dame, Minnesota, BC, Purdue, Miami. Where do you see Purdue at right now?
I like Purdue a lot. I like their young kids. Morton as a point guard, I don't know. He doesn't shoot at Eric Hunter's out. When Eric Sasha Stojanovic, I've known his dad for 100 years and I always say his name wrong, Stefanovic has been fantastic. In fact, Valpo was getting ready to beat him and he just started unloading in the second half. Williams and Edie inside, terrific. Newman, good. I don't know anything about Miami's team. But I do like Purdue's team, Seth. Is that Likes still there?
Yeah, they, look, they got Likes and McGusty. Earl Timberlake. From DeMatha is injured. They got the Wong kid who's a good player. Zay Wong, the good wing scorer. Nassir Brooks changes him a little bit. Here's the deal. Last year, Miami didn't guard anyone. And they couldn't rebound. So I'm interested to see if they, you know, they've won some games so far, but they haven't played anyone. So I'm going to see if have they improved defensively and can they rebound the basketball? I'm huge on Florida State. MJ Walker, the one game he had, played like the guy come back that's improved. And speaking of Leonard, Leonard said he's in the gym all the time now. He's totally committed. Scotty Barnes, they say, is absolutely ridiculous. They got those guys returning. And this is, I think this is, you talk about Iowa and Texas and those guys. This is a game that Indiana's got to go and win. You lose four pros in 2 years. Scotty Barnes is really talented. You're relying on MJ Walker, who's been a, you know, a complimentary player. Obviously, Raekwon Evans and Raekwon Gray are good players. But when you have Trace Jackson Davis, who should be McDonald's an All-American, and you, I don't know about Durham, but you have Finney, and you have pieces. Now, I do think that Indiana really misses Justin Smith. I think if you put him in with this team, and again, I don't know about his daddy and, you know, all that politics, so I, you know, I'm taking that out of it. You put him in as a productive 6'8" player that has had success, could rebound at some, scored some, could defend some, I think you'd have something pretty special in Indiana. I'm not sure they have that. And there's another one of those, Trey Lander, one of those guys that graduated early, and, like, he can't get in a game. Can't get in a game.
Played well in the third game. They let him in, and he picked up tempo. But I'm with you, Lander. Indiana beat Florida State last year. You know, a lot of people thought, wow, this is, you know, here we go. I'm with you, but I do think that's an interesting matchup. I think Leonard's team is really good. I think Leonard's team isn't going to change. Indiana, you know, Indiana's shown it can be really good. I mean, it's shown it can be really bad. And, you know, again, you're going – not a tough – even if they had a crowd, it wouldn't be that tough of an environment at Florida State. So you got a pretty good opportunity. You know what I mean?
How does Indiana really improvise when Florida State takes them out?
That's where I think, and again, we haven't seen enough of it, but Lander kind of the guy, man. I mean, he's the only guy that has, boom, quickness. You know what I'm saying, Seth? Like, Finney, solid as hell, makes shots. Durham, make a jump shot. Race Thompson, strong. You know, that kind of stuff is fine. But either that or you know what you do, Seth? You throw it to the big. You and I both love Trace Jackson Davis.
He's got a touch at every possession.
Yeah, I mean, when things go awry, what's the great elixir? You throw it on the block and, you know, hope you get some help, maybe clean up the backboard with Race Thompson like they did in the first game against Providence. But I think that's a really, really good game. I've got Ohio State and Notre Dame. I personally watched Notre Dame, Michigan State, and I didn't like – a whole lot about Notre Dame, Seth. And I'm not convinced that Ohio State's better than Indiana. I know they're picked better. I know they're in the top 25. I know all that stuff. But I'm not – I don't know where Ohio State goes after one through maybe five.
Their upside isn't close to Indiana's.
I don't think so either. I mean, I agree.
They got great balance in that starting five. And Justice Suing, you know, gives him versatility, and he's going to get him 15, right, 16 points a game. There's no doubt about it. Liddell plays hard.
And I love Liddell.
12, 14 points a game. I do like CJ, and I do like the backcourt right now. I think because they know they're going to play. So, like, those guys.
Yeah, and Washington can make any shots you want.
Got a little bit of a light. So, like Washington and Walker are rocks. Like, the problem is if they get in free foul trouble, number one, Young's got to give them just a touch more. I just worry about their depth.
I totally agree, Seth. I'm anxious to see it because I want to see how good they are. You know, Notre Dame, you know, they lose Mooney, who became an All-American. Yeah, I mean, and I, you know, they lost Pfluger, who had been there for 5-6 years. I just, you know, Goodwin's a nice player. What's his name?
Durham's going to block some shots and finish around the basket. Prentice Hub's going to get
in the lane. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure Hub can get by anyone. You know,
I'll tell you what he can do. He can squeeze a few off Austin Carr style back in the day, man.
Yeah, he can
squeeze them off.
All right, I'm going to give you the last game before we wrap this thing up. Virginia, Michigan State. Here's my take. I'm a little like Virginia, you know, the USF lost. Then all of a sudden, Keay Clark was benched, which was surprising. I said this when we had our preview early on. Diakite and Braxton Key, don't underestimate Diakite's impact on the game and his versatility defensively. Braxton Key rebounded the ball. I think Sam's going to rebound the ball and Sam's going to make shots. Virginia started running that five-out motion, kind of read and react. And it was awful to me. I mean, for what they wanted, they went right back to mover blocker. They looked good in it. They run some good sets into it and some little, you know, actions into it. I'm worried about them defensively. Keay Clark finished the game the other night against Kent State in an overtime win and played well down the stretch. Here's your upper-class senior. I think he's a senior.
Might be a junior.
Who's played great minutes for you. You take him out of the starting lineup. So something happened. And I don't know what it is, but something happened. And I think it's them finding, you know, Reese Beekman's a nice player. I think he gets him in the lane. Here's my concern about Virginia. Short clock, close game. If that ball's in Keay Clark's hands and I'm playing against him, I'm happy because I'm going to make him score.
He beat a few teams last year, Seth.
But the guy, he's turning it over and he doesn't score over people that well. I'm not letting Sam Hauser beat me.
You know, he's been good. He's been in good situations, but I agree with you. You don't bench a guy like that unless something happened. Well, Intense hit the shot to beat Carolina last year. So they got some guys. My thing is this. I think Michigan State's really good. Like,
how versatile are they?
Oh, they
Julius
got
Julius Marbles turned into from the scout team to, you like, you know, kryptonite.
You know who might be?
Hauser.
You know who might be the best shot maker in college basketball? Rocket Watts. He makes all those floaters going left, pulling up, going right. I love, and I text you. I know we talked about it, but that Bingham kid had a stretch where I thought, wow, this is different, man. This is really, really different. Hey, look, Detroit played the brakes off them because Detroit spread it and drove it and made everything. But I'll be surprised. Let me tell you, I'll be surprised if Michigan State doesn't win that.
Yeah, I think Michigan State will win. So I'll tell you what Michigan State's doing. Look, Malik Hall comes off the bench and gets 21. Joey Hauser goes 27 and 11, knocking down 4-6 threes.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, the fun that Tom's going to have running 8,000 in some of those sets, moving him all over the place in the action. Rocket Watts is finding a bounce between initiating and being aggressive, which is huge. I think Lawyer, in that 10-minute, 12-minute range, makes enough shots, kind of gets him organized a little bit, can play with Rocket Watts. But the versatility, whether it's Malik Hall, whether it's Marble, whether it's Bingham, they've got so many different ways. They can go small and play Hauser at 5 or 4. They can play him at 3 and go, like, you know, humongous with Malik Hall and any of those other bigs. They are guarding you. You know, you got Josh Langford and Rocket and Aaron Henry on the perimeter guarding. You can play Aaron Henry at the 4. I think this team, you know, look, I love Cassius, you know, and I love Xavier. This team has the potential to be better.
I agree.
Because they're not relying on one guy making all the plays.
Last thing before we go. Of all the teams we've talked about in this Big Ten ACC challenge, okay, if you had the first pick, you have the first pick. This is the best team in this challenge. Who would you pick?
I'd say Michigan State.
I think so.
I think the one team we didn't talk about because they missed a free throw block at the end of the game was Wisconsin.
Ooh. Game got canceled with Louisville.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that kid Justin Lewis that made the tap in. Baltimore kids, I love Baltimore guys. You know, I love Baltimore guys. Those dudes are hard-nosed playing dudes.
I always heard Baltimore guys always hit their opponents in the package.
I know one thing. Malcolm Delaney was in the gym all day, went to every class, loved to play, and competed. Darryl Morsell. Baltimore guys just love ball. And they think Baltimore is not a city. They think it's a state. It's the craziest thing in the world.
It's a crazy thing.
Wisconsin was disappointing.
Very much so. Very, very much so. Veteran crew, got a lot of pieces. Everybody, whether it's Ford or it's Davison or it's Trice or it's Reavers, they've played so much basketball together. I agree. And you know what? While we're saying they're disappointed, you got to give your hat, you know, take a hat off to what Marquette was able to do, man. Hey, you know, hey, Marquette beat them. Straight beat them in a game no different than the Cincinnati Xavier game. No different.
Yeah.
You know, Marquette and Wisconsin have recruited against each other. They hate each other. The Diamond Stone thing made everybody nuts that he ended up going out of state and Wisconsin had him and Hero didn't. There's a lot of angst in recruiting in the state of Wisconsin, and particularly between those two. So, hey, got to give credit to
Carlton. Carlton was good down the stretch in that game.
Who?
DJ Carlton was good down the stretch off that flat ball.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like some guys, I started with this with Kentucky. There's different levels of five-star recruits. You know, there's different levels of this is the best guy in the country. DJ Carton was at that really, really high level when he came out of the state of Iowa to go to Ohio State. Now, you know, you saw a little bit. You saw a lot of it, actually. Hey, I like the fact that we had angst at the beginning. We made up for what the Cincinnati Xavier did. A little argument.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know what that means? It's this time of the year. We got some competitive games. And games are being played. I mean, all right. So, I mean, look, here's the deal. We got games, man. I mean, like, we're losing some. And that's – all right, we're in a pandemic. But you know what? We're also we've had some incredible games. Like you tweeted the other day, college basketball never disappoints. And, you know – we need to celebrate it and stop complaining about the games we lost. Celebrate that we're playing games in a pandemic. Most of these kids have been, even though they've had contacted the virus, that they're healthy and they're hanging in there. And we've just got to stay the course, man. Stay the course and celebrate the game.
When Miles Dredd hit the three at the buzzer to beat VCU, I think, for Penn State, and those kids – rushed Miles Dredd in an empty arena. That was one of the coolest things that I've seen. And it's exactly to your point, big boy. Just celebrate what the hell we got, because we got some great moments, and there'll be great moments tonight, tomorrow night, every night. College basketball delivers, baby.
Plus, you got Indiana football.
Let me tell you something, Seth. Indiana football deserves in the conversation for the college football playoffs. I got it right here, pal. I got it all written down right here. Everybody that's in the conversation. And Indiana football was better than Ohio State, but they lost. So Ohio State should go. Alabama should go. But I ain't putting a two-loss Clemson team. And if Clemson beats the hell out of Notre Dame, I ain't putting Notre Dame in. So there's one spot. Indiana is as deserving as anyone.
There you go. And plus, hey, your coach is amazing.
Everybody loves the coach, huh?
You know him?
Yeah.
Is he incredible?
1,000% real. There is no contrived. There isn't, oh, man, all of a sudden he's a great guy. He built that thing on Leo. Love each other. And all you got to do after every game is look at the player's reaction. We love you, coach. You're the best coach in the country, blah, 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 blah. He's a real dude, man. He's a real dude.
I'll tell you what. I know nothing about football. I don't have a team. I root for them. I root for him. When those kids are running off that field.
Yeah.
Like every coach wants to feel and have that connection with their team like he has with his.
Telling you. It's amazing. So if you could use your considerable influence and, you know, just kind of sort of nudge Jack Nudgy, you know, maybe Herbie and, you know, all the guys, let's go.
All right.
Indiana.
World's greatest podcast. We cover it all. We didn't even get into the Jets, you know, not, you know, giving up. By the way, why would they fire the defensive coordinator? I never understood that. The head football coach should be responsible for that.
The way the Jets were set up was that he is the head coach of the defense, Greg Williams. And Adam Gase doesn't touch the defense. That's Adam Gase's fault. I'm not taking a head coaching job and acquiescing power to one side of the ball. No, I'm with you, brother. But damn, was that stupid. Holy cow, was that stupid.
Unbelievable. The world's greatest podcast.
Hey, last, covered last all. Question.
A to Z, Big Ten, ACC, weekends.
Why do you always defend coaches? Why do you always defend every coach?
I wasn't defending. I was saying I think the head coach should have taken a bop.
I'm talking about the beginning of the show. Why?
Because I think you're unrealistic. I think that, you know what, you schedule, especially in a pandemic, you schedule a kid, but you know what? They schedule it over their head for
and
a team.
Don't whine about it.
You're a hater.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast. We'll be right back.